Happy Sabbath, everyone. Good to see you all this morning. I believe God has heard our prayers, and winter is over. There have been so many times where it gets warm, and then the next thing you know, it's snowing. Well, this week it was warm, and it cooled down, but it's still warm. Amen. Now, me, I love all weather. I love cold, I love hot, but when it's time for the weather to change, I'm ready for it to change. So spring kind of gave up on us for a little bit there, but he came back. And God has blessed us. And we've had a beautiful weekend. We're having a beautiful Sabbath today. And I'm so thankful that you all have decided to worship with us here at Tacoma Park this morning. Let's open our word and turn to Exodus chapter 14 and read verses 13 and 14 yet again this morning. Exodus chapter 14. Verses 13 and 14. And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." Our sermon title for this morning is "I'm free." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for blessing us with a beautiful Sabbath day. But we thank you so much, Lord, for keeping us and allowing us to come here this morning. And we're asking, Holy Spirit, that you will descend upon us now. Lord, push me to the side. Speak through me. I'm your servant. Fill me. Speak through me. And allow all of us to be able to hear your word this morning. Bless us as we pray. Bless us as we go through the sermon, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As you all know, our theme for this second quarter of the year is connect to his passion. This entire year, our theme has been connect, and we're connecting to different aspects of Jesus. And again, this quarter is connecting to his passion, Jesus's passion. And if you haven't noticed, as we've been preaching this entire year, we've been coming out of the Gospels. Well, this morning, I'd like for us to revisit a story from the Old Testament. It's a story that's very familiar to all of us. You see, it's very important for us to understand that when we're trying to understand Christ, when we're trying to understand what his passions are and what his purpose is and what his power is, when you're trying to understand Christ, you don't just have to look at the Gospels. You don't just have to look at the Old Testament. You see, the entire Bible tells us about the character of Jesus Christ. So when we go back to the Old Testament and we see the acts of God and we see the passions of God, we're actually seeing the passions of Jesus himself. So when we go back to the book of Exodus and we begin to look at this story of the children of Israel finally being able to be free from the oppression of the Egyptians, what we're looking at is one of the most monumental and important moments in biblical history outside of the cross. What we're looking at is the moment that the Israelites were finally able to reconnect with God. You see, when you go through the book of Genesis, you see that God had been with the children of Israel this entire time. He was with Adam and with Noah and with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But the children of Israel were taken captive in Egypt. Joseph was in Egypt and brought his family there. And when the Pharaoh that knew Joseph died, the new Pharaoh that came up did not recognize the relationship that Joseph's family had with Egypt. So he said, "I want to make sure that these people don't rise up and take power." So he decided to enslave all of the children of Israel. Not only did he enslave them, not only did he oppress them and make them work for him, but he decided that he was going to kill all of their firstborn. Why? Because again, he didn't want them to rise to power. And he knew the best way to do that was to take out their seed. And so for 430 years, the Israelites were oppressed. For 430 years, there was unending sorrow, unending pain for the children of Israel. And for 430 years, the children of Israel cried out to God, asking for freedom, asking for a relief from their oppression. As the years went on, the children began to forget about God because, remember, they were in captivity. They didn't hear the voice of God. There was no sacrifices for them to give. There was no Sabbath for them to worship on. There was only the gods of Egypt. They had only heard stories about God, but they knew from those stories that if they continued to cry out, that someday this God would hear them. As time went on, God began to enact his plan because, you see, God had a passion for his children. God had a passion for the freedom of his children. So what God did is God raised himself up a savior. Out of the oppression, out of that slaughter of those children that were killed, God saved a special child, knowing that one day that child would be raised in the Egyptian system, but run away to the desert. And God knew that as soon as he ran away, that he would want to follow what the Lord wanted him to do. And so God came to Moses in a burning bush, gave him power through a staff. And Moses, through the miraculous power of God, went back to Egypt, stood up to Pharaoh, and freed the children of Israel. After 430 years of unending oppression and unending sorrow, the children of Israel were finally free. They were promised a place that was flowing with milk and honey. They were promised a land that would give them unending joy, unending happiness. And so the children of Israel gathered not only their things, but they took some of the things of the Egyptians. And the Bible says that over 600,000 men, not including women and children, were able to leave Egypt. And so now they were going down a path following God. The Bible says that there was a pillar of cloud that was covering them and leading them during the day. And there was a pillar of fire keeping them warm, leading them at night. The children of Israel were free. Now, I know none of us today have experienced physical slavery, but we have experienced spiritual slavery. You see, we can connect with this moment of absolute freedom because we too had a Savior that came into our lives and set us free from the bondage of sin. We too had a Savior that broke the chains that were holding us down, that broke the addictions that seemed to control our every move, that broke the darkness that was covering our minds. Jesus Christ set us free. Why? Because God has a passion for our freedom. God wants us to be free from sin. He wanted us to be free from sin so badly that he literally came down to this earth, wrapped himself in flesh, and sacrificed himself so that we could be free. You see, we serve a God that has such a passion for us that he was willing to go in captivity himself so that we could experience pure freedom. Not only did he experience captivity, but when Jesus died on the cross, he died the second death so that we would not have to. Jesus has a passion for our freedom. And so now, like the children of Israel, we're on a journey. We're on a journey to the promised land. We're on a journey to heaven. And as we go along the way, we have a Savior that was passionate about us that is leading us on the way. So when we look at this story, when we look at the story of the Israelites going down the path on the way to total and complete freedom, there's a little bit of confusion that sets in on the way. You see, the children of Israel are going, they know the area that they're supposed to be going. They know that they're going to the land of Canaan. And they know that there's a certain direction that they should be going in. You see, there was a pathway directly from Egypt to the land of Canaan, and the Egyptians called it the Way of Horus. It really should have only taken the Israelites a few days to make it from Egypt to the land of Canaan. But as they followed the cloud during the day and the pillar of fire at night, they realized that they weren't going on the Way of Horus. They were going down a very strange and different path. It seemed like there was more desert in this path than there should have been. It seemed like there were more rocks and valleys on this path than there should have been. As a matter of fact, this path seems to be taking way longer than it's supposed to. They're watching the cloud, and as they see the cloud continue to go, they notice that there's a sea that's coming up in front of them. Now, they know that God wants the best for them. God wants their freedom, so they're just going to follow the cloud, not ask any questions. Maybe God has a special way of going around the sea. But as they got closer and closer and closer, they realized that God was leading them directly to the shores of the Red Sea. It got to a point where they would could literally walk up and see the water right in front of their feet. The Israelites said, "Lord, we trust you, but where are we going? Why have you led us to a place where there's literally a sea in front of us? There was another direction that we could have gone in that was way easier than this path. Why have you taken us to a place where we can't move forward anymore? There is literally an insurmountable obstacle in front of us." I'm sure that they looked at their stuff and they said, "Lord, you let us take our things. You let us take the things of the Egyptians, but you didn't let us take a boat. So how are we supposed to cross this sea?" You see, when we're saved by God and we begin on our path of freedom and we are watching God lead us through our lives, there are times where we are led to obstacles. Notice I said led to obstacles. I didn't say that the obstacle just pops up. I mean, as you are following God's direction, he takes you to a place where there is something that is blocking your spiritual path. And we get upset. This stuff messes us up because I thought that when Jesus came into my life, that life was supposed to be easy. The Bible that I read says that when Jesus comes into my life, he's supposed to give me a peace that passes understanding. But when the money starts running low, it's kind of hard to have peace in my life. When I'm still anxious and worried about what's going to happen in my life, it's kind of hard to have peace in my life. We all run into obstacles. We all run into hard times. And it seems like things would have been easier if we just did things our own way. Well, when you read the Bible, what you find out is God purposely took them in this direction because God knew that if he took them down the Way of Horus, there was a literal war that was happening on that path. The children of Israel would have gone down that path and either died or ran back to Egypt. So God, in his infinite wisdom, said, "Nope, I can't take them this way. I'm going to have to take them around because I want them to survive." You see, one of the things that you have to do when you're going through life and you see things getting hard is you have to trust that the path that you're on with God is the best possible path for you. You don't know what's happening on the other side. You don't know what's happening on the other things that are going on in life. The path that you might think is best for you might be a path that leads to your destruction. Now, what I just said does not make it easy. It doesn't change the fact that there is a sea that is in front of you blocking your path. To make matters worse, in this story, the children of Israel are not only blocked by a sea, but suddenly there's a sound coming from behind them. Sounds like thunder. So when they turn around to look and see what's going on, because they probably think there's a storm coming, they look and they see dust coming up. So maybe they figured, maybe there's a dust storm coming, so let's pitch our tents and get comfortable and get inside so that the dust doesn't affect us. But as the dust got closer, the sounds became more distinct. And the sound that they heard was not thunder. It was the sound of feet. It was the sound of horses. It was the sound of chariots. Pharaoh changed his mind and left Egypt with his entire army. And not only did he bring his entire army, but Pharaoh brought his chariots. The Bible says that he took 600 of his choicest chariots to run the Israelites down. Terror is now filling the hearts of the Israelites because they know they are going to die. Now, for us, seeing chariots isn't that big of a deal. We live in a land of jets and tanks and automatic assault rifles and all these things that we consider to be modern warfare. Let me tell you that back then, a chariot was as terrifying as a tank today. You see, the chariot, especially the chariots that the Egyptians used, were specifically designed for battle. They were small, they were thin, they were called hunting chariots. They were built for speed. And you see, Pharaoh had his own chariot. So Pharaoh and his other charioteers would ride in these chariots by themselves. I know you see the movies and you only see one or two people in chariot. No, they were by themselves. And Pharaoh wouldn't just hold the reins of the chariot. No, he would take the reins of the chariot and wrap it around his waist so that he could take his arrows and shoot whoever he saw while he was driving the chariot with his hips. This was terrifying. I'm sure that when the children of Israel saw Pharaoh, he already had the reins wrapped around his waist, and he already had his arrows ready to shoot at the first person that he saw. You see, it wasn't enough that there was a sea, but now there were soul-crushing chariots and heart-piercing arrows that were now surrounding the Israelites. You see, the problem with getting blocked in our path in life is not just that we get blocked from in front, but you see things start happening behind us that we didn't see coming. It's not enough that you weren't making enough money, but now you gotta lose your job. It wasn't enough that you were already losing your health, but now because of the health problems and the money problems that are coming, the relationships in your family are now falling apart. You see, when you get to a place where you're stuck, the enemy knows that this is now the perfect time to attack your life. So Satan hops in his chariot, ready and willing to take you out, because he knows if he can get you to despair, if he can get you to a place where you're hopeless and forget about the power of God, he's got you exactly where he wants you. But you see, what I love about this story is that it gives us good news. Because the same God that was passionate about my freedom is not only passionate about making me free, he is also just as passionate about making sure that I stay free. So when I see the obstacle in front of me, when I see the enemy trying to take me out behind me, I need to realize and recognize that the same God that freed me in a miraculous fashion is going to deliver me now in a miraculous fashion. Why? Because God has a passion for my freedom. And so when I look at this text, that's what's trying to be conveyed. What the Bible is trying to tell me is, I don't need to be afraid of the things that are surrounding me in my life because Jesus has a passion for keeping me free. Pharaoh was coming. There's no way to move forward. There's no way to get around. And it's so interesting because of what the children of Israel start doing is they start complaining. Anger and stress and distress really changes the way you look at the world, and sometimes it can be blinding. When we look at chapter 14 and go down to verse 11, this is what the children of Israel say. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is it not this that we said unto you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Check this out. The children of Israel see the enemy coming. And even though they see the enemy coming and they are reminded of the terror of Pharaoh, they tell Moses, "I wish we still served those guys. I wish that I still could be in Egypt. You know, things weren't as bad when I was still in bondage. Things weren't that bad when I was still a slave. At least Pharaoh wasn't trying to kill me." Here's the thing about the enemy, y'all. When you get into situations where you're hopeless and desperate, even though you have been freed from sin, the devil wants you to think that the life that you lived before was so easy and so rosy that if you go back to that life, maybe your life now would be easier. Don't you remember what it was like when you were able to drink as soon as work was over? Don't you remember how you were able to de-stress when you went home and you were able to look at those magazines that you weren't supposed to be looking at and go into those websites that you never should have seen? Wasn't that life so much easier? Wasn't it so much easier when you had multiple people to go to their homes, multiple people to sleep with? You didn't have to only go to just one. You had multiple beds of comfort. Wasn't it easier back then? Wasn't life so simple? But you forget the fact that that was the life that was literally sucking the life from you. You see, that's the plan of Satan. He wants to make things seem so rosy and wonderful back then, and he wants you to lose your focus and forget the power of God. What we find in our text for this morning in verse 13 and 14 of Exodus chapter 14 is Moses actually gets upset and starts yelling at the children of Israel. But you see, even though he's upset and he's angry and he's yelling, what he says is totally true. And when we're in these situations, this is something that we not only have to remember, but this is something that we have to practice. Because you see, when we follow these things, this is how God keeps us free. Verse 13 says, "And Moses said," really screamed to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord." Now, there are three things that he's saying that we should do. They're all wrapped in one another. The first thing that he says is fear not. Don't be afraid of what you're seeing in front of you. Don't be afraid of the struggle that you're going through. We're not saying it's not hard. We're not saying that it might not suck some hope and evoke some sadness. But do not fear what your life is right now. The next thing that he says is stand firm. So not only do you not fear what's going on, but stand firm in what it is that you believe. Now's not the time to fold. Now is the time to become a rock. When you look at towers and you look at walls, these things are built not to fold when the rough times come. I would hope that the house that you live in, that when it gets windy outside, that the walls don't suddenly cave in. The walls were built to stand firm when the weather gets bad. So you too need to stand firm when the things start going bad in your life. Now, it's one thing for me to tell you not to be afraid. It's one thing for me to tell you to stand firm, but where does the power to do those things come from? The next statement is where the power comes from. What Moses says is, see the salvation of the Lord, which he is working for you today. You see, the way that you're able to not be afraid and the way that you're able to stand firm is to shift your focus away from the problems. Shift your focus away from how things used to be and shift your focus onto what God is working on in your life right now. Now, follow me on this. The Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua. If you didn't know this, Jesus' name in Hebrew is Yeshua. What I would like to say this morning is that if you're going through something right now, you need to shift your focus from what's going on and pay attention to the salvation of the Lord, who is Jesus. Shift your focus from your life and start looking at the one who saved you. Because if you keep looking at the weakness in your own life, you're going to believe that you are weak. But when you shift your focus on the one who is strong, on the one who holds the universe and the world and your life in his hands, you will find strength. Why? Because you know that you're not fighting it yourself, but Jesus is fighting it for you. When you focus on Jesus, everything else disappears. You see, when you start focusing on Jesus and you remember that there is freedom in Christ, then you remember that your old life really was that bad. And you start realizing that, hey, maybe the situation that I'm in now, if God was able to save me before, I know for a fact he can do it again. So I don't have to be afraid, and I can stand firm in the promises of Christ. Why? Because I've seen him work, and I'm going to stand here, stand firm, not fear, and watch him work again. Now, what Moses says afterwards is also very, very important. Moses says to stand firm, see the salvation of the Lord. All you have to do is be silent. Now, if you translate this correctly in Hebrew, Moses said, shut up. I'm telling you this morning that when you've shifted your focus on Christ, that when you stop fearing and begin to stand firm, shut up. Stop complaining. There's no need to complain anymore. There's no reason to worry anymore. You see, there are power in your words. There's power in the things that you say. There's power in the things that you think. So the more that you complain, the more you start saying negative things about the situation that we are in, the more real it becomes. You see, complaining shifts your focus away from God. I know it hurts. There's nothing wrong with telling someone about your pain, telling someone about your struggle, but as you're sharing your pain and sharing your struggle, also share that you know that Jesus is going to work it out for you. Also share that you know that you serve a living Savior who is passionate about not only your freedom from the past, but your freedom for the present and your freedom from the future. Shut up. Stop complaining. Leave it alone. and start speaking positive things into your life. Start speaking the power of Christ into your life and start speaking the power of Christ into other people's lives. I guarantee when people start hearing the way you talk about your situation, it's going to affect how they see their situation. It's going to affect how they see God as well. So fear not. Stand firm. Look to Christ and shut up. Now, what God says at this moment, he says, why are you crying to me? Moses, take your staff, go up to the water, hold it out. I'll separate the water and I'm going to fight for you because I want you to see my glory. But I don't only want you to see it. I want Pharaoh to see my glory too. You see, God already had the whole thing figured out and you didn't know it. God had a plan for you when you got to the sea. You just didn't know what it was because it wasn't the time for him to reveal it yet, because he wanted to make sure that he got the glory for your victory. So the Bible says that the angel of the Lord that was going before them, y'all didn't know there was an angel up front, did you? The children of Israel didn't know there was an angel either. They saw the cloud, but they didn't know that the angel of the Lord was actually going in front of them. And when you read the scriptures and break it down, the angel of the Lord is not just a regular angel. The angel of the Lord was not Gabriel or some of the other angels. It wasn't a seraphim. When you read that Bible, you'll find out that the angel of the Lord that was going before the children of Israel was Jesus Christ himself. They couldn't see him, didn't know that he was there. But Jesus was leading the way the whole time, making sure that the path was clear. So the Bible says that the angel hopped back and stood between the children of Israel and the Egyptians. But not only did Jesus jump to the back, the cloud that was going in front of them jumped to the back. And not only did the cloud jump to the back, but the fire came down from heaven mixed with the cloud. So now I've got Jesus, I've got the cloud, and I've got the fire fighting the Egyptians for the Israelites. Now get this. Psalms 104 verse 3 says that the clouds are God's chariot. So what Jesus said is, I'm going to hop in my chariot and see how Pharaoh's chariots stand up against me. So Jesus hopped in his chariot and began to fight the Egyptians for the Israelites. Jesus is fighting your battle for you. And don't think that Jesus isn't a ferocious fighter. You see, sometimes we look at Jesus and we think of him as the passive one who holds the lambs and tells the children to come to him. But don't forget that Jesus was the one that came to Joshua as the captain of the heavenly host with shining armor and sword drawn, ready to fight and act victory for his children. So Moses takes his staff. He lifts it over the sea. And this is important to understand because movies have messed this up for us. He holds the staff over the sea. God sends a wind to part the sea, but it takes all night long. You see, you watch a movie and you see Moses hold up the staff and you see the water just part. No, it took all night long. The Israelites had to be patient in order to watch God do what he needed to do for them. You see, we always want God to give us a quick fix, but the fact is the fix isn't going to be that fast. It's going to take some time. But you better believe that while God is fixing your situation, he's fighting for you all night long. The Bible says that when that cloud and fire and angel was behind them, that it separated the light from the dark. And he fought for them all night long, all the way until the path was clear. So the children of Israel walk across on dry land. You see, the thing that they thought was their barrier was the very thing that became their salvation. They walked across the sea. The cloud lifted, the fire lifted, Jesus was gone, and Pharaoh said, attack. So his army went down into the middle of the sea. And remember how it took all night for it to part? It only took a few seconds for that water to close up on the Egyptians and take them out. The very thing that you thought was going to take the Israelites out was the thing that took the enemy out. You see, you think Satan really thinks he's got this thing in hand. He really thinks that he's got you on the ropes. But what he didn't know was that the barrier for you was his undoing. You see, that barrier became your strength. You see, when Satan comes and he tries to affect your finances, and you get to the point where you don't care about finances because you know that God has a storehouse full of gold and things for you, then that stuff isn't a barrier for you anymore. That now becomes a barrier for the enemy. When you begin to realize that my health isn't the most important thing in my life because Jesus is the most important thing in my life, and even though I'm suffering here, even though I might die here, I'll be raised again with a new body, with no pain, with no worry. Satan's power is now gone, and the thing that Satan thought he was going to use to take you out actually ends up being his undoing. So what happens is the children of Israel get to the other side, and they see the Egyptians washing up on the beach at their feet. You see, Jesus has a passion for your freedom. Jesus has a passion for keeping you free. And if you stand firm, if you're not afraid, if you look to Jesus and just shut up and let him do his work, watch your problems and worries wash up at your feet on the beach. Watch those financial problems wash up in front of you on the beach. Watch that health problem wash up in front of you on the beach. Watch those family problems wash up in front of you on the beach. Watch that anxiety and worry and addiction wash up in front of you on the beach. And you can now stand in victory, looking down at what you thought was going to destroy you. Standing down, looking, and all you can do when these things happen is praise God. The whole next chapter, chapter 15, is literally a chapter of the Israelites just praising God. There's no story. It's a whole song. Because when you see the victory that God enacts for you, all that you can do is praise God. Praise God. You see, when God works that victory for you, you know how people talk about arguments and how people argue and bring up these old things all the time. When you're praising God, it's okay to bring up the old stuff. When you're praising God, bring up the past. Talk about when God found you. Talk about when God saved you. Talk about when God cleaned you up. Talk about those times where you thought there was no way to make it out. Talk about those times when you were sure that the enemy was going to take you out. Bring up your struggles now. I would say start praising God for the struggles you're going through right now, because God is going to enact a miraculous and victorious victory for your life. Why? Because Jesus cares and is passionate about your freedom. As we close this morning, that's all I want you to know. I want you to know that Jesus is passionate about your freedom. He didn't stop when you were saved the first time. He's still working in your life day after day after day. He's still making sure that you continue to stay free. Don't let the enemy blind you, because all he's going to try to do is shift your focus. You make sure that you stay focused on the one who is working out your salvation and your freedom right now. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so, so much for fighting for us. We thank you so much, oh Lord, for the wonderful things that we have seen you do. I don't know who's struggling, Lord. I don't know who's going through situations right now where they're feeling like there's no way forward. They feel like there's no escape for them because their backs are covered. And Lord, that old life, that life of sin, is looking mighty good to them right now. But Lord, remind them of who you are. Show them your power. Show them your plan, Lord. Help all of us refocus on you so that we can see that there is a way out. So we can see that you love us, that you care for us, and that your ultimate passion is for us. Bless us, keep us, and help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.